Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report's late night. Excuse the delay, had a little technical difficulty. My laptop wanted to update. Also, I know I'm telling you, one of my favorite new songs by True God Immortal, had a little trouble uploading it, but hey, we're going to have fun. Not only is this one of our long-awaited talks with True God Immortal, because it's been about a year since he's been with us, but this is part one, No Holds Barred Talk with True God, Baltimore's own, but next week, Team Dar will join him. So tonight, part one, with the man himself, then next Saturday with he and his team. I'm super excited, again, accept my apologies for the delay, but I want you to enjoy the music. I get so excited, and Murphy's Law happened. The computer was like, okay, I'm going to update right now. Right now, and I have a new TC1, but for some reason, I'm still learning how to upload my, it wouldn't upload the file that I had it on, so I guess I need to learn how to upload it another way, because I know there's another way, so the geek in me will figure that out real soon, most definitely. But thank you for tuning in. I'm going to play True God and Apollo right now, and True God will be calling in to chat with us, to tell us a lot about what's going on, what he's been up to, the Team Dar projects, his new music, and the community projects that he's been working on. So I've been checking out his, if you guys tweet, I mean, his tweets are so interesting. And then if you really want to see his relationship with his daughter and with his peers, definitely follow him on Instagram. But thank you so much. Here's True God and Apollo.
Black, play this game like it's blackjack. Shorty ate my cracker jacks like the nutcracker, and she keep a nigga coming back. I am so aggressive, I would dismantle your parliament. Bring my whole squad together, nigga, that will congregate. Say you like my hits, I will take it as a compliment. They might have took my money, but never my accomplishment. The interstellar conference when we cipher and buy, creating chemistry, see us coincide. Sounds are never dated, niggas try to chastise. We never slowing down like freedom rides. Here lies the corpses of those before me who tried to make a way for young niggas just like me. Hold the future in your hands like a trophy. I tell the stone cold truth, you can't ignore me. We hit y'all with that 40. Niggas balling in the game like with Kobe. You know me, trading secrets with your shoulder.
And this is just the way that life goes. Today I wonder about the very things that life holds. You might win a couple hands or you might fold. So put your cards on the table, let the dice roll. Life is a gamble, they tell me to bet on black. Odds in your favor, they tell me to bet on black. Hope that you win, they tell me to bet on black, man. Don't lose it all, they tell me to bet on black. Shit, I could pass tomorrow, how much time I have to borrow? Seeing family fade away, I don't think you grasp the sorrow. Then what follows is a bunch of bitches who could pass for models. They don't want nothing real, shit, they only ask for bottles. You beat inglorious bastards, let me give you a warning. They plotting on your demise, you'll be notorious after. All lies on me, then success is surely a factor. Could never close my book, this is my victorious chapter. The lies and pain will sue you, they'll die to gain approval. The fame is something fleeting, that's why this game will use you. Sunrise is pain removal, sunset is where you scribe. Put the pen to the paper, confess that you're alive. You can lose it all today, some stretch, this won't subside. On the path to kill my demons, gun next to where I ride. Shit, you may not understand it, complex is just my vibe. But I ain't leaving empty handed, unrest until I die.
got you.
And this is just the way that life goes. Today I wonder about the very things that life holds. You might win a couple hands or you might fold. So put your cards on the table, let the dice roll. Life is a gamble, they tell me to bet on black. Odds in your favor, they tell me to bet on black. Hope that you win, they tell me to bet on black, man. Don't lose it all, they tell me to bet on black.
True. People think that since they don a black hoodie, that they gonna go ahead and bring Martin back. But here's the problem with that. Half of you cats are only here for the chance to go ahead and bring attention to the fact that some of y'all just pop a win. The media goes and tells you that murder's a sin. But when it's a black kid, then you walk away. When the victim isn't, you know, shoved up in your face. Tough guys always saying what they do. And Georgia Darren came up on them in the mood to stand their ground. But when given the chance to do anything, even positive, bro, they don't even move. Preying on the youth with their mentalities, giving them false hopes that they up against the machine. But when they behind the scenes, they back by. And no one's the wiser because they living in dreams. So you gotta bet on me.
And this is just the way that life goes. Today I wonder about the very things that life holds. You might win a couple hands or you might fold. So put your cards on the table, let the dice roll. Life is a gamble, they tell me to bet on black. Odds in your favor, they tell me to bet on black. Hope that you win, they tell me to bet on black, man. Don't lose it all, they tell me to bet on black.
Check it out, look at my bust of these flows, destroying all these foes. Half of these industry niggas out here getting exposed. Conflicted with life, more confused than a hunger. And surely, D.A.R. always spits it with purity. We catch and listen us when we step up to the podium. I see you catch your feelings, playboy. Check your sorting, you were never discreet. Leaving opponents obsolete. Their career is at a crossroads. I can sense the desperation. Your subject matter lacking the time for inspiration. Your boss struggles, can't find a new occupation. I'm motivated to leave these niggas eviscerated. I thought of hatred, hope y'all ready to get dominated. Woo!
Hidden replay. Whew, love it. True God. I don't think there's a song I don't love, though, by True God Immortal. Oh, my goodness. He's here. He's on the line. He's right here live on air. True God, I've missed you. It's been a while since we've talked with you.
Hey, how's it going? It has been a minute.
How are you? It's going good. I'm excited about the arrival. I'm excited about the holiday season, but definitely the arrival of the new year. And I see you are. So it's going real good.
Yeah. I'm looking forward, you know. I'm looking forward to this new year and just, you know, it's been a lot. It's been a lot going on, you know, with me and just everything is going on around me. It's absolutely crazy. So, you know, the new year for me, I feel like everything is getting ready to change for the better. So, you know,
I'm
really looking forward to it.
You know, I feel like that too. And I'm always excited to see a new year, but I don't always feel like you just mentioned. You know?
Yeah.
And so I feel the same way. I'm really excited. I feel like some major things are really going to blow in 2015.
I hope so. You know, it's been 2014 was a crazy. It's been a crazy year for me. You know, a lot of ups and downs, and just a lot of crazy stuff. So, I feel like 2015. I feel like I'm going in there with a lot more peace. You know, I still have my moments, you know. If anybody's been following me for as long as I, you know, I've been coming on your show for a few years now. So
yes.
You know, it's different. You know, it's definitely different for me, you know, now, because I used to be so like really aggressive on everything, and now for me, you know, I'm kind of chill now. I'm trying to get to that point where I can be chill and be at peace, you know.
You know, your tone, so, your voice, your tone now, yeah. You sound like you're at peace. You sound very chill, like you mentioned. Because you read my mind. I was about to mention that you sound very chill. You still sound like you, you know, you mean what you say. But you,
oh no, I definitely
sound really chill.
I try to be, you know. Now I feel like I think the biggest thing is that so much got me out of character, in the past, you know. I think that's why a lot of people look at me and they start to judge me. Like people who've known me for a while and see me, you know, people tend to judge you off your past. You know, a lot of people tend to judge you off your past, and I try not to get caught in that. You know, I try not to get caught in that, and I'm, you know, personally for me, at this point, you know, after going through the stuff I've gone through, it'd be real easy for me to be aggressive and lash out at everybody, but you know, I have to set an example for people so people can see that you can go through the shit that I've gone through. And, you know what I mean? Like, I've gone through a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I've gone through a lot. I've lost a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Death. I got, you know, craziness going on with my personal situation and stuff like that. So, for me, as a man that's always just trying to improve on myself, I feel like it'd be real easy for me to jump out the window and do something stupid when I'm faced with the immeasurable odds that are against me. But at this point now, you know what I'm saying, I'm attacking it more strategically. Everything, you know, is strategic, you know. So it's definitely one of those things where now I'm mindful of everything that I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
now
good to share that, especially with listeners. And we have another caller also online with us. So if you would like to speak, just press 1 so we will put you on air. This is a time of year where a lot of people are stressing. And this might be a festive and happy time for many, but it's a very stressful time for many too. So it's good you're sharing it.
Yeah.
Because some people don't, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm about to explode.
You know what it is. I'll tell you what it is. You know, for me, it's like I try to set an example. I have a lot of people around me that I grew up with. You know, you know what I'm saying? Just they're on the, people I grew up with and my family I grew up with. And my peoples and you know what I'm saying, my hood peoples, my homies, you know what I'm saying, like, we come up from a different era, a different time. So,
yes.
You know, the time we come from is honor, you know, honor, loyalty, respect, and just, you know, just honesty and be real. And today's society doesn't reward that, you know.
And we're from, and also where you talk things out before getting violent, you know. Okay, let's agree to disagree. You know, what happened to that? Okay, we see things from two different ways. Okay, cool, that's cool. Why get so violent toward one another? Even if
yeah,
it's just,
you know what I mean?
You know, just going off, like you were saying, it's just blowing your top. Some people just blow their top, like, oh. But then, you know, it's important for us to think first and stay calm.
You know, for me, I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth in that. Like, we came from you know, violent altercations and backgrounds, you know. Like, I was, you know, 11 and 12, you know what I mean, getting in fights. And, you know, you on the block, you get shot at. And I don't talk about it a lot. See, and that's what's funny, because I have a lot of people who we talk. I have people I connect with, and we talk real experiences of being in the streets, of being around the streets. And there's a lot of people who don't understand it and don't relate to it. You know, a lot of people don't relate to that, you know, because there's a lot of guys who never be caught anywhere near that. They was, you know, they don't live that life. And for me, you know, living that life, I try not to glorify. That's why people see me as a conscious artist. And a conscious
I know
rap.
People all ages that, you know, just, you know, that's just how they are. you know? Like, whoa.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, you know, like I said, coming from where we, you know, where I come from, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. I've gone through a lot, and I put it in the music. If you listen to the music, you'll hear it, and I don't talk about it a lot because
that's
like
why,
I said,
that's
not everybody
why it's
can
important.
Relate.
Your music is like Prince music. Everybody who knows me and don't know me know I love Prince. And your music is like Prince music and song lyrics. You have to replay and replay, not just because you love the groove and the music, but you really have messages. That's why I felt like, I really did feel like playing you an Apollo song that you, I'm sure you would tell us about. I really did feel like playing it again because I know the listeners want to hear it again also because you have to really digest your music. You can go with the flow, but at the same time, like, wait a second. What did he just say? You know, like, wait a second.
You know, for a song like Bet on Black, you know, like I came up with the concept and had the beat for a while, and that's, you know, me, Apollo, Speed, and Axel. That's the Team DAR movement. You know, that's what we do. You know, that's just, you know, like we put together a great concept and great songs together, and for that song, you know, it was just an idea. I had a song called Gambling Problem on my fourth album, 371. And it was basically just talking about, kind of rolling the dice and seeing what you come up with in life. And Bet on Black, in these times that we're in right now, we're in tumultuous times right now. You know, it's really tumultuous. Like, everything is going on. Everything's crazy. So I like to shed light on some of the things that are going on. And you're hearing Speed's verse, and he's talking about, you know, the Trayvon Martin and the Mike Brown situation and Darren Wilson. He's touching on some of that. And Axel just brings his own brand, and Apollo does his thing. And for me, you know, for me, my music and every verse that I do is a depiction of my real life. Like, where most rappers don't talk about anything that's real or genuine, everything in my music is 100% fact. It's nothing embellished in it. And I think that kind of turns people off a little bit, because people want to hear images. They want to hear fake shit. You know, you can hear Rick Ross talk about what he does, and you know for a fact that's not the case. But it's entertainment, so you jump on it. Whereas if I come on a bet on black, I'm talking about, you know, like, I could pass tomorrow. How much time I have to borrow? You know. And meeting chicks who could pass for models, but they don't want no love. They just want to ask for bottles. Like, this is reality. You know, I spent the last two nights, in the club partying, taking chicks back to the crib with my homie and meeting women and stuff like that, being in the single life.
Because you had me laughing on one of your Instagram videos. Who's that talking about? Hood rats.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, basically that was Thursday. Thursday night, me and my man, we went out to this hood club, and you know, we went out. You know, there's a lot of cats. You know, a lot of cats move away from the hood and they never come back.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm different in that regard because I left the hood and I'm not in the hood anymore. But you know, I still go back. I still know people there, so I go back to the hood and I'm kicking it. And I go kick it and we just happened to see these girls, and it's not bragging or just to be honest. I get a lot of attention from the females when we come into the spots. So when I get attention, I don't really do too much, but you know, we're on a dance floor, and they was like, "What y'all doing after this?" And they in our faces, and you could tell it's the hood rats, you know, it's the hood rats. Not to throw shots at anybody. Let me just put this disclaimer: no shots at anybody who wears extremely long weave for no reason. No shots, no diss. But you know, you could tell they had the extremely long weave. You know what I'm saying? They smelled like fresh cocoa butter, and they had that twang in their voice. Where it's like you could tell that they were from the hood and they were hood rats and they were trying to take my homie, they were trying to take his money and try to get food. And that's when I put the video up on Instagram.
Yeah, and you said something about this is what happened when you pick up hood rats, and they were just laughing and took a pink.
Yeah, I mean,
let me get myself back together because it was funny to me. I was like, oh my Lord.
And I mean, that was just something that, you know, something that happened. You know, it happens a lot. You know, we go out so often, and you know, we do some crazy, you know, we get into some crazy stuff with these ladies and stuff, and you know, for me, it's like.
And that's what life is all about, having fun. And I like the fact that on your Instagram you share your life with your friends, your peers, and you share your life with your daughter, who those of us who have been friends with you since before your daughter, and how excited you were just up when you first knew you were expecting. And it's just amazing to see her, you know, see you two. You two are just adorable together.
Yeah, you know, that's my soul, you know. My daughter means everything to me.
So you don't mind sharing your whole life. You know, some people try to keep some parts of their life, you know, out.
Even
some performers, you know, will not share their time with their friends/fans. And you're sharing that, you know. Even so, there's some people I didn't want to share that private. No, you know, you're not their life off stage, you know.
Yeah, you know what it is. I think
it's being a normal person, and that's what people like.
I put it to you like this: there are pieces of my life that people don't get to see, you know, because to me, anything that I put into music. And people don't understand this. People at one time, like, you know, like 2012, 2013, a lot of my stuff went out there, and a lot of stuff was crazy. And people were like, man, why do you put your business on Twitter? I said, look, I promote my music via Twitter. I promote my music via anything that I do. So if you listen to my music, everything that I say there is going to be found here. Because this is my reality, you know. Like, there's certain stuff that I don't put in the music, or certain stuff that I just don't talk about on social media because, like, I don't necessarily have to. But there's a large portion of it. When it comes to my Instagram, for me, that my Instagram is my personal photo album because, you know.
Yeah,
because like,
I noticed your Instagram is kind of private. You kind of guard who you let in, that.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah,
but
I mean,
when it comes
to
Twitter, I'm so glad you mentioned social media. When it comes to Twitter, I mean, even when you and I aren't, like, dialoguing or talking or whatever, I'm seeing what you're talking about. You have some amazing Twitter-versations. You have some amazing conversations on everything from music to women to classy women to everything, just the truth. And people ask you relationship advice, I noticed.
You know what? I don't even talk about this
men
like
and
that.
Women.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm gonna honestly tell you the truth. And
you're a relationship expert now.
I gotta give you a long story first. Like, I don't want to lose my train of thought, so I don't want to get cut off I have to explain this to people. I have to explain this to people so they understand this in full. If you've been following me, I have a lot of people who follow me back in 2011, 2012, and it's like, you know, back then I was in a relationship, you know, with the mother of my child.
Yeah, I know you and I, we always talk about love and relationships and sex,
you know,
and all
then,
that, but I noticed on Twitter you get a lot of, you're like, male Oprah.
Yeah, but let me. I'll explain to you where that all comes from. That's what I mean. I'm trying to. Mm-hmm. I just explain to where it comes from. People understand, like how it started. Like, I was in a relationship for nearly 8 years with the mother of my child. So people see that, and I was never one to hide that. I still don't hide it. You know, if you go to my YouTube account, the first account that's like the next channel, that the first, like, the you know, your favorite channels, my ex is still number one on my channel. And if you go to her channel, I'm still on her list too. So and regardless of where we are now with each other, we're at odds right now. She's trying to, you know, keep me from being with my daughter. There's a lot of crazy stuff that's going on there, which I won't get too into that
right
now.
No way.
But
you gotta be kidding me.
You know, It's a whole bunch of crazy stuff, but that's why I'm getting that's why I'm sticking on this point is because in my relationship when I was with the mother of my child and we were together and all those years we were together, I never had a problem showing her off as mine. If you go to my YouTube account, my videos, I'm not deleting my videos. She went back and deleted her videos that are on her account.
I remember when you and I go way back, and I remember when you two were just amazing. I loved seeing you two.
And I think that's the thing, you know, is I think people don't get that, is, you know, people don't understand because she's gone on to become popular person, you know, a popular person on Twitter and YouTube kind of. And, you know, that's the crazy part. Like, I was there for all of that, you know, in the beginning. Like, I was helping her out with ideas, and I was holding the camera for her, and she was holding the camera for me. And, you know, in my first album, I had a 3-part documentary where she was in it because, you know, in the last part, you know, like
a documentary
like,
that I recommend to listeners. Yeah, that I always recommend to people.
You know, but I mean, that's the reality of it, you know, that we were together. And I if you saw the way I looked at her and the way she looked at me, and this is why I say, like, I don't hide anything from people because of the fact, like, my past is my past. My music, if you go back and check my first album, you go and check my second album and all that stuff like that, I'm talking about my ex. You check my documentary, she's in there. She was a part of my life then. It just, you know, and so when people see that, they're like, man, you really do hold the woman that you really care about in such high regard. The woman that you want to be with, the woman you loved, you held in such high regard. And when we were together, you know, you could see that. You know, we had videos together about, you know, playing video games. And on her account, we had videos where, you know, she was, like, introducing her following to her boyfriend, and we sat down together. But you won't see those videos anymore on her channel because she deleted them. And this is where I think the difference between me and her come in. Because, you know, to me, I didn't delete anything because I have nothing to hide. If you're deleting all the... You know, but that's why I said, you know, she is who she is, and you know, you know, like I said, hopefully in the future we will be able to as adults and work things out. But, you know, for the time being, she attacked me, you know, attacked me on social media, and she said all these, like, these false things, and it led to me to get a lot of, like, losers. Like weirdo losers come in to my like to my mentions or try to attack me or harass me or whatever, and they don't know me. And so and what pissed me off is that everything that my ex was saying, or mother my child was saying, a lot of it, like 98% of that was false. You know, she had nothing that was true. So everything she's saying, I'm like, okay, if people have been following me long enough, let's go back and check the history. Let's go back and check the history of our relationship. I was a terrible boyfriend. Nobody else can tell that. Nobody, and people who know me, people around me, like people who know me as an artist, people who know me in real life, they're like, what is she talking about? So when you start to attack somebody, and you start to point fingers and stuff like that, or you start to say, you know, this and that, like, I talk about her in every interview that I was doing at that time. Like, I would not be where I am now if it wasn't for her. And in the same way, she wouldn't be where she was if it wasn't for me. And we brought that for each other, you know. And I understand it. And she looks at it like, you still want me because I can acknowledge her, without always disrespecting her. And she doesn't understand that because that's foreign to her, you know. Like like when she was coming at me and trying to, she was like, I'm exposing you. I'm like, what are you exposing? I don't. She talked about my love life, and I'm like, how do you know my love life? We don't talk about my love life. We talk about our child, nothing else. On my end, she tells me her business. I don't tell her mine. So. You know, we have that dichotomy, and when that dichotomy comes along, when you have something like that, to me, she's a chameleon. I call her a chameleon all the time because she adapts to whoever she's around or whatever she's around. And the guy she's dating now, last time you had
written that song.
I went off, you know. I went off a little bit on the show, and that you know, that backfired on me a little bit because I was angry at the time. You know, like, me and her were still living under the same roof, and you know, she's eating my cooking, she's cooking food for me. You know, we're still cordial with each other, and then, you know, but at the same time, like, we're still dealing with a breakup, and I'm still watching the family that we spent, you know, all this time working on it, all this money that I invested into this, and all the, you know, like, you start to think about all the time you put in, and when you think about all the time you put in, and then you watch it fall apart, she didn't understand. She's like, well, it didn't work out, and some, and I'm like, so you tell me it's that easy? Like, I didn't get how it was that easy for her to be like, and she felt like I betrayed her because, you know, at the time, when my second album, DOA, came out, I was like I had the song Modern Day Woman, which is one of my like biggest songs that the females love, but I dedicated
song
to her. You know, that was about her.
Because I remember you talked about her the whole show, broke down the song, and I mean that's a song that made all of us feel good, and I think it made a lot of guys feel good.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. You know, is I never have an issue. And this is why to this day, when we talk about, I talk about relationships is because of the fact, like, I understand in a relationship. Like, I know the mistakes I made when I was dating the mother of my child. And for me, I wanted to apply them, with her at the time, when the last time I was on the show in 2013. I was literally, like, I was fucked up, I just lost my grandmother. I lost my great aunt. These are two women who helped raise me. And then in the same week, I found out that me and her were done. So you have that all in the same week, and it's put on you. And the way I reacted to that backfired on me because, my family is like, oh, she lied and she did this and you found this out. We're going to take care of that. And to her, she's like, oh, I'm scared. She's scared. She's like, I'm scared. I want you to jump. And she doesn't realize, she doesn't have it in her mind that back then when you're going through something, the same way she deals with emotions and she's like angry at everybody else in public now on Twitter, or she wants to be this and that, like, It's and I haven't spoken about this in a lot of interviews. I don't talk about it that much. This is mm-hmm. probably my most revealing one that anybody's gonna get. But I've seen her in the last 16 months, well 14 months since she's left Baltimore and moved to North Carolina. I've seen her become an entirely different person. And I know people who know her that she thinks are her friends on social media who are privately coming to me after she tried to expose me on that. This girl is trouble. This girl is, I don't understand where her mind is. Like, what mother would do this and what mother would say this? And it's all this crazy stuff. And so she thinks these people are her friends on the internet. And I can express this on this show where years ago on Facebook we had an issue before because I used to be like, yo, why are you showing out on Facebook for them little funky ass girls that you used to go to school with who won't even like you like that? And she would say, I don't know what you're talking about. And she deleted her Facebook. And she was like, fuck it. I was like, yo, this is social media. Like, this is not that important. This is 2009, 2010. But I was going through a rough time in 2009. I talked about it on my first mixtape, Immortal Kingdom. Said I was broke I was down and out for like 2.5, 3 years. And that woman, the mother of my child, helped carry me through the years. I had money coming in, but it wasn't enough, And you feel, as a man, you want to be able to give the woman you with the world. And I wasn't able to do that at the time, my situations. And then I decided eventually, I said, I'm tired of mediocrity, and I didn't want to be a 9-to-5 dude for the rest of my life. I didn't want to be that. So when I started to put music out and stuff like that, I made sure she was right by my side, because when I get to the top and I make it, the woman who's been there with me the whole time.
I had to check myself. Yeah. We live on air, but I'm checking things.
No, okay. You're good. It's one of those things where, when I made it to the top, I wanted the woman who was there with me, and from the start, I spoke before, I grew up, man. I grew up rough and kind of rough, and I'll say kind of rough because I know some people had it worse than I did. My mother was working, 16 to 18 hour days just to make sure we had a roof over our heads, and I was out there in the streets and stuff like that. But when I got my, mother, my child, we were out there sleeping on benches together, because we couldn't have a place to stay, And then we came up from that, and we watched ourselves rise and come up. So it was bittersweet at that time when we broke up, and I'm like, I'm going to NC, I'm going to Cali, I'm going to Philly, I'm going to VA, I'm going to DC, and I'm doing and I'm wrestling has always been a big part of my life, and she's known that since 2005 when we first met, and she's always supported that, she had always supported that. So when I became a part of the wrestling business and I'm doing commentary on a wrestling television program, or I'm helping, and I'm meeting, I'm at dinner with wrestlers, going to basketball games with famous professional wrestlers. I would tell her, I would still tell her that. I'm like, yo, this is crazy, yo. I was sitting there with Matt Hardy, and I'm sitting there with such and such, and they know me, yo. I met Jake Snake, they know me. And she was like, that's so dope, that's so dope, I'm so proud of you. And we were cordial at the time. And this is the end of 2000, it's the beginning of this year. We were cordial. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we had arrived at a place where, we wouldn't have to, because I said on my second album, And people, like I said, if people pay attention, if you follow my entire discography, I have basically everything. I've mapped out every single thing that has happened up until now. And no, and people don't get it. On DOA, this is the album that came out the day my daughter was born. I said on there, I said, I don't want to raise our child in court. We'd be pissed off at each other just arguing over child support. And in my head, I have the wildest thoughts, thinking for every broken family, it's just another child that's lost, you know? And I even said, I never wanted to be that type of parent to where, you know, where I'm in court with you. And when she left and took my child to North Carolina, you know, a lot of things raced in my head. I was like, I'm just going to get full custody and take it away. But my loyalty to somebody that I love is that deep that I would never take our child away from her the way she would do it to me. Because she does it out of spite. She does it out of spite. That's bitterness. It's bitterness. She just hasn't come to grips with it, but it's bitterness. Because I'm like, why would I do that to you? Because, you know, we were both there. You know, I was like, we were both there. Like, you know, she knows how important my daughter is to me. And I do everything. Everything I do now is for my daughter. Like, you know, like when I make this music and I sell this album or I decide to get my ass up at four in the morning to go do electrical work. I've never been an electrician before, but I didn't study it at all. I just, somebody needs help, I get paid to do it, and I did it. She needed a new coat. I put on it. I said, I don't really want to do this, but my daughter needs a new coat, and I'm going to go get it because that's my child. If she needs something, you come to me. And when I do that, for her to take that away from me, to me, it's like a vendetta. It's like it's some vendetta she has. Like, because if we're cordial and everything's good, you know, I don't get it, you know. And I feel like that, you know, when people come to me for relationship advice, I feel like, bring it full circle, I feel like people see that everything that I've gone through and they understand it. Like, they relate to it because...
Because I have always asked you to share a relationship. Well, just not conversation. That's what we talk about. But I noticed on Twitter, wow, you get bombarded, not only with music questions and people sharing information and network review regarding music, but about love and relationships and just, you know, out there.
But I appreciate it, though. If people feel like I'm, you know, I'm somebody they come to for relationship advice or relationship problems and stuff like that. I appreciate that, you know, because I feel like I guess I feel like, you know, to be in a relationship at my age for, you know, like almost 8 years, you know, I think people are like, man, like I know people who've been, you know, in multiple relationships and they're like, man, they don't even equal up that, you know, my relationships don't even equal up to 8 years almost. So, you know, like what was your
Oh yeah, I've never been in a relationship for 8 years. Oh my God. My most successful relationships have been like 2 years. I've been married unsuccessfully twice. Both of them were ended before they even started good, but yeah, 8 years. Yeah, because when you two were like happy in love, I was just waiting to get my invitation to the wedding, you know.
You know.
Or to the reception after you guys eloped, because I didn't see coming when you two broke up. I was in shock.
You know, I'll be 100% honest with you.
But I'm a romantic. I'm a true romantic, because I was talking on Facebook last night, you know, I'm going to do this makeover and just in time for Valentine's Day, you know. I'm not seeing anybody, but, you know, I was seeing this guy this summer, and my heart is still kind of broken from it. I talk about it. I'm like you. I talk about stuff. Now, a lot of people do, some people that I, you know, that's in my life, they don't want to be talked about. I don't want their names mentioned, but I talk about me. I talk about my experiences, you know, and then I have other friends who are like you and I. We know... You think we tell all our business. We don't tell all our business. You know,
but it's
important to tell your business because there's so many other people out there who are telling their perception or telling stories we've never heard of. So that's why it's good for us to tell our own business because of the ones that's out there saying what they want to say. You want to know the truth, then you hear it from me.
Right, right, and you know, like I put it to you, like You know, I'll put it to you like this, you know, with me, when you mentioned, bro, go back to the point of first point you mentioned about, you know, you're waiting for the wedding and, you know, and it was a shocker.
I was like, wow. I was like, this awesome couple. I mean, I'm 46, so I'm like young love, even though you know a lot, you're wise. And I was like, oh, this, I'm like, this couple is amazing. You know,
this couple really got it going on. Right, but you know what people fail to realize in that sense is that there's a lot of things that people don't see that you know, that it's not like anything big, like conversations that she and I had. We talked about marriage. You know, we were like 6 years in, and we had decided that, you know, we were going to get married in July of 2012. Well, and this is back in June of 2011. We were going to move to a you know, nicer area and get a, you know, a bigger place, and we did. You know, we set goals for ourselves, and we did that. You know, at that time, you know, we both were goal oriented, you know, people.
And then you told us that you two were homeless together.
Yeah, we were like homeless together. Like I was going through a lot, you know, at the time, and she was going through a lot, and all we had were each other at that time. You know, and people don't get it. Like, people don't really get it, right? Because nobody's ever really been in that situation. When I talk to people on social media, like, I know for a fact, like, there's a lot of people who come from sheltered homes and people who still live with their parents. I moved out of my mother's house when I was 17, 18 years old, you know, and I've never been back. And that's just what it is, you know. And I was with her the entire time, and I think people don't get that. My entire adult life up until, you know, like summertime of 2013 was just all me and her. You know, I became an adult.
Wow.
And we met each other. We met each other, you know, at 18, and you were together for so long, and you know, like, that's all.
And
that's
now
all
you're now. I don't know if you want, like, to tell your age or what. Now your age is.
I'm 27, so.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's what it is, though. But that's what it is, you know. Uh-huh. Being that age, we meet at 18.
Your knowledge and your wisdom is like you have an old soul in you, and then your life experience is just amazing.
But, you know, but that's what I mean. Like, you know, me and her 18 and the things we went through and you know, sleeping on benches together and we sleeping in the hallways, man, and stuff like that. And you know, like, all we had at that time was each other. So you come from that background, you know, that background of each other. Like, we know each other in and out. I think that's another thing. Like, I know her in and out, and I know what she was going to do before she did it, you know. Like, before she went to North Carolina, I was telling people in my circle, like, she's probably taking my child to North Carolina. I get what she's doing. I already knew what she's going to probably try to do that. I said, I'm going to wait and see, because we had, like, another 6 months left on the lease. So I said, by the time the lease is up, I'll do that. And she didn't wait, you know. She just sprung on and dipped before the lease was out. You know, and
yeah,
when that happened,
because I know,
like,
I know you making trips to North Carolina.
No, because you had shows
in North Carolina and everything.
Yeah, it was sudden, and I was doing the wrestling stuff. But yeah, you know, it just so happened that at the time, before we even broke up, I had business in North Carolina. I just never had a reason to go. I never had a reason to go because I'm like, I'm staying here with my child. You know. And, you know, me staying here with my child and you know, and at the time, you know, at the beginning of 2013, I said, we're going to probably work this out anyway. We're still, you know, active with each other. We're still sleeping in the same bed for the most part. We're still, you know, talking, and we're still doing stuff. So at the time, I felt like we were going to have everything was going to work out. That was my mentality. And then I started seeing it wasn't going to work out because I was watching her change in front of me. You know, I was watching her change in front of me, and for a man, for us as men, it's hard for us to give our entire heart to a woman anyway for a long-term relationship. And I don't think people understand that when we love hard. That's why when women say, oh, men are dogs, it's not because of the fact we want to be, it's because of the fact we take this relationship thing very serious. I don't personally believe in dating.
But I really think that's too general, and that's a myth. All men aren't dogs. You know, just all women are hoes, all women are bitches. Women are hood rats, you know, but women sure do. All men are dogs, but there are some guys out there who are not dogs. But when they get dogged out enough, I think they kind of, you know, they turn a little ferocious, you know.
But that's what I mean, you know, like the stereotype mm-hmm. that's placed upon us, you know, it's everything is deeper, everything is mental. So for me, like being single, like I've been basically officially single since like March or April of 2013. So I'm going on 2 years mm-hmm. officially single. In that time I've been single, I have had women, you know, I've had a lot of women, to be honest. And you know, as recent as last night, you know, like I'm being honest, you know, well, I'm at uh-huh. the bar, went back, you know, but just it's honest, you know, and people don't.
You're a bachelor,
and people
nothing wrong with a bachelor, you know, talking about the life.
But you know, but you know, I don't think people get it because some people look at it like, oh, you think, oh, you all you do is talk about the girls you get. I'm like, no, I'm telling you real experiences and things I go through because you don't know. Like when I talked about the fact that, you know, my mother is currently in a assisted living home. You know, she has dementia. She had an accident like a year and a half ago, and I talked about it on record and on my last few albums. And my mother's the last lineage in my family that I have, and so when I talked about it. And I talked about that, and I had a couple people reach out to me and say, "Man, I heard this song, and it made me go call my mom because we were at odds." And I said, "What if my mom got into something like that, you know?" And that's powerful to me.
Yeah, it is.
You know. So it's.
Yeah, we're all going through something, and some people don't talk about their personal lives with other people. So to hear that you're going through a situation, you know, that really comforts some people, you know? Like, I'm going through something like that, you know?
Yeah, you know, and but I think...
You know, my mother's 83, turned 83, and, you know, recently, and so, yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, what it is for me when I put so much of my stuff like that out there and talk about my relationship falling apart and what you go through, like I let people see everything in that period of time. Mm-hmm. And people say, "Man, why would you do that?" But I've gotten close relationships with people who are just fans or just people who become really close to me because of that open honesty. And the people relate to it more. When you hear my music, I know people relate who hear my music and say, "Yo, I feel it because I see what you're going through." Like, on top of you talking about, man, you know, like when I put out Soul Revival 2 and it's the song Lost Love, Parts 1 to Part 3. When I put out, you know, parts, you know, Lost Love, Parts 1 to Part 3, it starts off with a vocal sample of my ex on the third part of my documentary from, you know, a couple years back. And she's like, "I'm so proud of you. We've been through so much together, and I love you." And I remember Speed on the Beat, my, you know, the producer of it, he said he nearly broke down when he heard it because he had been there the entire time that I've been doing this. So he knows how much that my ex was a part of that and how much she meant to me, how much I meant to her. So to for him to make that beat and have to put that sample in and then listen to the lyrics, he was like, it's rough. It's rough for me to listen to it because,
hold on a second, hold
you know,
on. Okay. Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm live on air. They someone didn't realize I was on the air.
That happens. I know it happens. You know.
Okay. Okay. I'm listening.
You know, but you know, people who heard it, you know, was like, "Yeah, man. Like, I listened to everything with, you know, that you put out." And so to hear your ex's voice on that song and then to see your old videos and all together out and about, your old vlogs, and then to hear the pain and the bitterness and the hurt in your voice at the time, people are like, "Man, I feel that shit." And then I start meeting people. That's when I get more people who are like, "Look, man, I was in a relationship with this girl for 3 years, man. You know, I was in a relationship for 3 years. And like, how did you get over it?" And if I
because if you got over an eight-year, people want to know how they get over a brief one.
I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'll tell you 100% the truth of how I got over it. Personally, I think when I realized when she left for NC and took my child, I think the first thing I said to myself was, you know, this is it. You know, I was like, this is it. You know, because I knew for a fact, I said, maybe we can get past this in the future and maybe get back together. But when she left, it was kind of like, nah, there's no chance of that. There was no chance, you know, like there's no chance of that at all. So, you know, when that happened, it was like, man, I got to get over this and I got to move on. I started to move on. And if I'm being honest, there's like one female in particular that in a way, I don't think she even really knows it. But she helped me in that process, you know, like getting over, like, you know, an ex that you've been with for years. It's something you have to do internally yourself. But but I lost hope at the time. I was like, man, I'm just destined to be single forever, man. Like, I'm going to be out here playing this game and running through chicks. And you meet somebody and it's like, damn, I could see myself. Even if that doesn't happen or we don't actually get together or it doesn't work out, it's, I could see myself with you. And if you either become, you know, a close friend of mine, or you know, you stick around for a while, you at least heighten my senses to feel like, okay, I can start over again. Because it's hard. It's hard to start over after a long-term relationship. Like, who wants to be out and about and the dating game is so, it's like everything is so unrealistic now and everything is so, you know, crazy. You know?
It is. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting, I think I'm finally going to get out there. Right after Valentine's Day, I'm going to do this month, next month, makeover, Valentine's. Yeah, I'm a true romantic, but yeah. But I'm thinking, how do you keep your composure, though? Because when you're romantic, you can sometimes, like, I guess, think you're in deep like or love. So my thing is to control the emotional side, have fun and go with it, and you know when you know if something's real or not, and then how you treat others and how others treat you too, you know.
You know,
because different people date for different reasons too. You know, they just casually go out there and have fun, and then some people are looking for love. Now, my thing is, if Cupid just unexpectedly strike, you know.
You know, but you know, I think what does it for me. In dating, and which has been my problem, is that I come across and find so many women that to me are unrealistic in their expectations and what they expect. And for me, and I can honestly say this, I feel like I'm not husband material right now, and I understand it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't believe in marriage. I don't believe in marriage the same way. You know, I don't believe in marriage the same way everybody else does. You know, yeah, like I have to be honest with myself, and for me to know that, you know, like I know I'm not right.
But
now,
some women feel like they can turn you into husband material. Look, some women aren't wife material, but they think they're ready to get married.
And that becomes the issue, because we tend to rush into things so quickly. And for me, it took me a while to really understand, you know. You know what I mean? Like, it took me a long time to really understand. And I have to ask you, I have people who say they're trying to call in and they're not able to actually get on.
The live stream and the calls are over now. It ended about 10, 15 minutes ago. But they must have just started trying to call, because we had a caller from Houston that's been on with us the entire show.
Yeah,
but
they hadn't pressed one yet.
But yeah, I've been retweeting and talking to some of your friends, so I guess they decided to call in when the call cannot come through. Yeah, because I had been wondering if they were going to call in.
I guess there's, you know, we're not being live right now.
Do you still host your show here on Blog Talk Radio?
We do, but it's on hiatus.
Yeah, the cutoff had happened about 10 minutes ago, because I was going to notify you. Yeah, I was surprised. Some of your friends that I've been retweeting and so on Twitter, I was shocked they hadn't called in yet.
I didn't know.
Please call us next week. Next Saturday, Tim Darr will be joining True God Immortal So please call in before showtime, and we'll definitely start on time. But I have been looking at the phone lines, and we've had a friend online with us from Houston. You know who that is? Because I think that person's called before.
That's Jelly. That's Jelly. That's my.
And I told her from the beginning to say something. Yeah.
Oh,
so I've been retweeting her on Twitter.
She said she wanted to listen in. That's
oh, okay.
That's D-A-R.
Oh,
that's D-A-R.
I'm getting ready to put you on the air. She wants to say something. I'm so glad. Okay. Hello. What's up with you?
Hello. Hi.
I'm
here.
I'm for the entire show. I wish I had known that was definitely you. I would have been with you on the air, but loving talking to your partner. Always.
Oh, yeah, no, it was all about him. So you didn't even need to hear me. I was just listening, just here to support him.
That's right. But tell us about some of your projects and real quick. I know next week we will, Team Dar will be joining. You're part of Team Dar, right?
I am. I am not in with the music. I do poetry. So my project is working on a book. So we're hoping it's coming out in the beginning of 2015, very, very soon.
Yeah. Jelly is going to be, you know, doing her thing, and it's great. You know, we have a team full of people that are just talented, and you know, and I have a small platform to you know, help push, and they have their own platforms, and we just bring it together. As a matter of fact, real quick, let me get my plugs in real quick. Then Shockus Apollo Valley.
You know how we do.
Yeah, my brother Shockus Apollo Valley, man. You go to shockusapollo.bandcamp.com. He had Apollo Valley just came out yesterday. Just yesterday. It just came out yesterday. It's fire. It's only $4.99. It's a great album. That's my brother. That's my brother. We've been brothers since like sixth or seventh grade, and to finally come to this point, and you'll get to talk to him next week when the whole team is on the show. But you know, we had started rapping in a group dynamic called HS. And it was just me and him, you know, and we did that for years, and we also were
you know what?
Back in middle school.
I'm old school. I'm 46, so you know, listening to the song with you and Apollo, it reminds me of Leaders of the New School.
That's an interesting.
No joke. I'm like, man, they're reminding me of Leaders of the New School. Leaders of the New School. I know you know Leaders of the New School. I'm like, man, this is really taking me back to the unity, you know?
Well, you know, what we do as artists is we try to bring something different to the table. For myself, and I'm five albums in now, working on my sixth. And for me, as an artist, it's a challenge. You know, every time I do an album, I want to do something that's accurate with my life as always. And I want to make sure that everybody else does it. You know, we have the young boy of the team. That's Jeff Axel. You know what I'm saying? Black Axel, he was the last person on Bet on Black. He's got a solo album coming out in June of 2015. You know, Apollo's calling himself Mr. December. So, you know, he's probably going to have his second, you know, DAR project come out in December 2015. And my sixth album probably going to be October, November. You know, and Speed on the Beat has his coming out in August. We got Team DAR, you know. Our schedule for 2015 is so big, so heavy, because we have the DAR group album, which is coming out late February, early March. This is called Exodus, which is a follow-up to the mixtape we put out back in September of this year, Genesis. So we have that, and then we have, like, me and Apollo are bringing back HS, and we were in the studio today, you know, and we were just talking, and we're bringing back that for the summertime in July. So, you know, there's so much work that we have to do in 2015, and Jelly's coming out with her, you know, her book, you know, her poetry book, and I'm working on my autobiography. I was thinking about trying to start up a web series and stuff like that. Once I get my equipment together, I want to start up a web series. You know, actual web series, you know, like people have web series that they put out and they make, with scripts and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of things that I want to do.
Because a lot of people pitch web series now, do their own, instead of ideas for TV shows and all nowadays.
Yeah, you know, but I think the crazy part of it is that we have so much creativity amongst our team that I want to let everybody showcase their talents. You know, I want to give people an opportunity to showcase the talents the same way, you know, that I guess, like, I have a friend who he's been nominated for a Grammy. I don't talk about him very often, but I hang around him a lot. You know, we grew up close to each other in the same hoods, but he's popular. He's kind of popular in a certain sense. And I hang out with him a lot. Like, when you had me the Instagram video talking about the hood rat chicks, he was in the car with me. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we come from the same background. But he's Grammy nominated, and he's under a label. And they're limited in what they can do. And I love the fact that with DAR, we have a unlimited ability to do what we want. You know, there's nothing stopping us except for us. And we could do radio. You know, we could do the sites and the blogs. We could do books on poetry. We could do biographies, novels if we wanted to. We could make movies. We could make TV, like, you know, a web series show. We could do documentaries like I've done before. You know, we do music. I can do wrestling. We can fuse, you know, the brand new brand that you know, I founded, and, you know, I got Speed on the Beat there with me. You know, that's another one of my brothers who I've known him since sixth or seventh grade, and that's what DAR represents to me. I have friends who I've made in the last, you know, year or two that are going to be lifelong friends, and those people are in the team with me. You know, that's Joe, that's Joe, that's Axel. You know, that's my family now. That's like family to me. But, you know, on the flip side of that, I have Apollo, I have Speed, who I've known since grade school, middle school, you know, and we come full circle now to standing next to each other as brothers, and you know, we go to D.C. for networking events, we're in the studio together, we're just hanging, it's a different atmosphere. A lot of times the issues with these groups that come into, you know, music and these movements that come along, they don't have any solidarity because they don't know each other that well. It's like you're put together by a label. What our team, we grew up together, and we have a different, and for the ones who didn't grow up with us, we have a strong bond amongst each other. So as long as we stay united and we keep pushing all these things, with my album, my fifth album, Pursuing Happiness, you know, I never put people on my album, but I put Apollo on a hook with me on one of my songs called Sunsets and Moon Risings. You know, I put him on a hook with me with Genesis, you know, like, you've never heard me on other people's track. You don't hear me in that kind of dichotomy where I'm working with other people because I like to stay in my own lane. But with my team, it's like we come together in the studio and we putting out, you know, a mixtape with 20 tracks of just straight fire, and now we got this new album coming out where everybody's on it, and we're in a different zone. And I feel like, you know, for 2015, I just feel like this is our year, period. I know everybody says that, but it's different. You know, I think this is different. You know, like, this is our year. Like, as much, you know, I set out for 2015 to 2016. I'm in the wrestling business. We do radio. We do sites. We do, you know, interviews with famous wrestlers. But I want to buy a company. I want to buy my own wrestling company. Where there's a WWE and there's a TNA and there's a Ring of Honor and there's these other independents, I want to own my own independent wrestling promotion. And I've said this on a couple other interviews, but I mean it. Because
that's right.
I know what I bring to the table, and mentally, I'm capable to do it. With me being at peace, I don't have that clutter around. Despite me not having my child with me because of the situation between me and her mother, that can be worked out very quickly through the court systems, which is going to probably have to be, and that's what I'm working on now. But in the meantime of making that sacrifice and dealing with it, I've made a lot of sacrifices, and you don't make sacrifices and they don't eventually pay off. So everything I'm going through right now is just building up to the big moment. That's all it is. And 2015 is it. I know it. You know, everybody's focused and everybody's ready to win. And there's nothing that can stop DAR at this point. It's people who hate on us. They keep my name in their mouth so often. I don't even know these dudes. They hate us, but that means we got something. That means we have something that they know has potential to blow up. There's people who don't want to give me shine. People who don't want to put me on their websites or feature my music, they're like, yo, your shit is hot. And people who buy my albums, they still don't want to put me on their sites because they feel like giving me that exposure is going to put me ahead of what they're trying to do. This is what I deal with. It's the reality of it. When you have that talent and you do, you know, when you have that talent and you do what you do, it's hard, you know. It's hard for people. you know what I mean, to really give you the credit that you deserve. And that's what I've been dealt, you know. That's the bad hand I guess I've been dealt when you're too talented. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have a solid plan. We're coming with some craziness. You know, the stuff we got coming in 2015, it's a lot of music. You know, it'll probably be, like I said, a web series or some type of documentary. I want to do a documentary on you know, just the current race issues and stuff like that, which I said years ago I wanted to do that on the show. I wanted to do that, and I got so sidetracked with so much crazy, you know, everything got so busy, so much had gone on. You know, for me, that I'm finally getting comfortable again. I'm comfortable now in everything in my life. Like, I was stressed, and it's still stress around me, but it's like a calm, and it's peace. I get out of character sometimes, and I do attack when people come at me, but, you know, I'm never coming at people, you know. To take the shots that my ex threw at me, you know, live on a public forum, and just say, fine. Let's not talk about it, you know, like because when you look at what she says versus what the truth is, it don't add up. So when people throw stones, you know, you throw stones at the throne, they're not landing, they're not hitting, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to defame your character, people are going to talk and lie. Like, I had cats say I was a terrible father that don't know me, you know, because your baby mama aired you out. She said nothing that was true. You know, like, I have screenshots, I have texts from her that suggest all that shit she said was otherwise. But I'm not the type of person that's going to put that out there. I'm not messy, but she knows the truth, but she also knows the type of person, that dude I am. I'm not that type of dude that would be a corny, like, corny-ass dude that would put her business out there like that. She can say what she want about me because it's not true. But when I put, if I put your shit out there, it's all facts. I got stuff behind it to grow with it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not that, but I'm not that type of dude. But I'm not that type of dude. You know, like she knows what I had in my phone. She knows the text she sent to me. She knows that it, like, she got to play that for her audience, you know, so she can look like a victim, you know. And if people tell me, you try to put some losers, like, oh, you try to put a victim. I said, I'll tell you what the truth is. You want what she said to be true. If I tell you it's not true, don't play the victim. Like, you're an idiot. You know, like, people are idiots. Like this is, I'm like, I know this is not true. I'm like, I try, like, she's like, oh, I lied so you can send me money. And I'm like, so, and she's like, you're so stupid. I'm like, I'm sorry for being stupid by sending the mother of my child money because it would help benefit my child and the woman who's her mother. I'm stupid for that? Okay. Even though we didn't talk about money in the conversation you were referring to, but for her followers, it's good to paint me as somebody who doesn't do what I'm supposed to do, even though everybody around me who knows me personally knows that's what I do. And to me, I feel like I've made it now. Like, truthfully, I feel like I've made it. When you have an ex talking bad about you and lying on you to make themselves look better and to get their name out, and you have people that don't know you that swear they know your entire life and they have no idea, to me, I made it. I'm making it now. Like, this is like, I'm like, when my name, when they say DAR and it's popping up and it's in lights and we sitting on the 7-8 figures, I'll be like, damn, you remember when you know, when Zori's mom was talking all this fakeness? You know? And then it's like, man, you remember when all these cats that I don't know, these trolls, these internet losers, were talking all this nonsense about me? It's like, man. Like, you know, like that to me is like, that means you're doing something right. I'm doing something right now because I have haters. I've always had haters, but online I never felt like I had them. I had people who just ignore me. I got people who like me or think my shit is cool. But I've never had haters. Like, people are I have haters now. It's different for me. It's different. It's definitely different. You know, I've had haters in real life, but online haters, that's wild. Like, that's crazy to be online haters. Like, people that, you know, that, like, just people that don't know you, that claim it or think they know everything about you. Like, that's wild to me. And that's the age we're in, you know, that's the age we're in. Like I said, people don't have honor anymore. There's no honor. There's no respect in people no more. And what we try to do and what I try to do is just keep that alive, keep that, you know. You know, like, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm honest about my situation and everything goes on around me. And I try to help people be the same way, you know. Just be you, man, you know. That's been my advice this entire time since I've been out as an artist. Be you. You know, do you, be you, be your real self. Don't try to stop trying to impress people. Stop trying to impress strangers. When we become more emotionally open and more open and more honest with ourselves and each other, then I feel like we can move to a certain place, you know, as an entire culture, as an entire people, because there's so many people who want to impress people that don't matter. And I know people who are worried about being judged and they worry so much about stuff like that. I know, you know, people
just
who
just be yourself, who, just be you, and then you'd be surprised who do, you know, notice you or praise you, and then you will be surprised about the people that don't praise you and don't support you. You know, they're around too, but you will find, be you. You know?
And you know,
and you'll see, and you find out. You know, and it comes from, and support comes from people. I know I get support from people that just shock me. You know, and then I got to shout out to DMV. I had to shout out my friends in the Lone Star State. I mean, but the DMV, I get so much love in the DMV. I mean, I promise you I got to make plans in 2015 to come to Baltimore, D.C., you know,
yeah.
Philly. I mean, I get so much love. I mean, you guys like me. You really like me. You know, so, like, you never know who supports you and who have your back.
And, you know, and I mean, that's just it. You know, I love the support that I get from everybody, you know, because, like, the support that I have for people who believe in me and see things in me and see the greatness and that I see in them, it's crazy, you know. It's almost like it's surreal to me because I've always knew the talent that I was blessed with. I think everybody knew the talent that I was blessed with, but I've encountered people who don't know the talent that they were blessed with, mm-hmm. and I feel like I've had a lot to do with helping
to
bring that out of them.
Yeah, I have realized,
you know,
too. Some people, you know, they're like, oh my God. Sometimes it's not us, but sometimes it's what they're dealing with too, because we're all dealing with something. But sometimes, you know, sometimes people are dealing with their talents, you know, because I know so many people with hidden talents. You know, people that work that 9-to-5 job, but they can sing, are people you would want to be part of your team, you know? But they're dealing with, oh my God, I know what my gift is. and
you
sometimes
know,
people don't know how to deal with it. And then when they see somebody else out there really stepping out, doing something with their talent, then sometimes that causes people to act and react a certain way.
And you know, like I said, I think my entire team has talent, and it's to the point where, you know, just to see their faces light up or to see like Apollo in the studio, he's like, man, I'm killing everybody on these hooks, man. Like I'm the king of these hooks, and for me, you know, my competitive nature is like, nah, I'm better than you. You know, we go back and forth, and I think that's good to push each other to become better artists. But to see that out of him, I'm like, man, I that's dope to me. Like, I love seeing that. And then to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, Speed, like, man, you know, like, I got to come hard on these verses that we do with DAR so I can, you know, one up y'all. Or look at my beats, man, these beats right here. Like, man, nobody's fucking with me on the beats. Or, you know, or when I have, you know, Axel be like, man, can't nobody do the energy thing like I do Playboy. Like, that's Axel. And it's like we all bring something to the table. And you know, with the poetry stuff, I think Jelly has a great talent. And because
I'm a poet also, exactly. So, yeah, you. I can't wait. I hope she shares some poetry with us next Saturday. So I want to let you know that.
No.
So I wanna put, yeah, please share with us next Saturday.
But you know, I mean, I hope you do, Jelly. I hope you do. You be all scared. You probably be scared to actually put the poetry out there, but.
I'm glad you reminded me because I thought about mentioning it to her earlier because, you know, I wait till next week. Well, you didn't tell me that!
She has a gift, you know. Jenny has a gift, and And I mean, but that's the beauty about the team. Like, everybody has a gift, and we all bring something to the table. And we have people who want to get down with the team now and be involved with it. And I think it's a beautiful thing to just to have people see the movement and respect it, you know, and they want to show support to it. And as it grows, man, I'm just excited for everything. And I'm excited to see Jelly's book, you know, when she finally comes out with it. You know, and whatever else that she wants to do, and sky's the limit for Jelly, the sky's the limit for Joe, the sky's the limit for Axel, the sky's the limit for Apollo and Speed, the sky's the limit for myself and the new people who come on board that, you know, might be officially DAR and with the team, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my homie Lo, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to that's the five homie right there. I won't go into all that, but you know what I'm saying? We out here. That's that big B's. That's that big B's.
But we're glad you're spending Saturday night with us.
it's funny because I was gonna go out and some, you know, my energy was off a little earlier. You know, I was tripping out a little earlier. Some things had gone on and I wasn't gonna go out and then I just decided, you know, I thought about going out. And I thought about it, man. I'm just you know, like we were talking about dating stuff. You know, earlier, like, I've gone out the last two or three nights in a row just meeting these just random chicks and meeting chicks and getting involved. Like, I'm running on 2 hours of sleep because I didn't get home until 7:30 in the morning last night, you know, 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, from drinking and getting involved. And stuff
you have Santa Claus hours.
Yeah, you know.
You sure you're not Santa?
No. But, no, it's crazy, though, because, this is one thing I want to say. Is that at this point in my life, and Jelly calls me a savage. Everybody who knows me calls me a savage because I live this life of I date one, give her one, I'm on to the next one. I keep a chick around for a few months. I know it won't work, and I'll still waste my time, which Jelly has made no bones about you know, checking me on that, which I need that. And that's like my sister, so, you know, I need somebody to check me on that. But for me now where I'm at, like, this life that I'm
90 days
life,
guarantee, huh?
Not even. They
return them before
days.
The 90 days.
Yeah, they don't make it. They usually don't make it. But this, you know, the crazy part is like some people are like, man, like you like somebody did tell me this. I think you changed, man. Like, you went from being in love and a relationship to just being wilding out. And I said, you got to realize, if you look at, you ask Speed, you ask Apollo, they've been around me for like 15 years. You know, almost 15 years now. Like, before I was in a relationship in high school, middle school, I was the same way. I was talking to the chick for a while, mess with her, get this chick, and I was the same way. So when I'm not in a relationship, I tend to wild out because, like, that's just what I'm used to. That's just what I know to do, you know, and it becomes easy.
You know what? I think with single, when people are single, you have that right. You know, I mean, you know, people are in relationships and married, they do that. So, but I think when you are single, not attached, I think men and women, you have that right to live a single lifestyle, you know, a safe sex single lifestyle. You know, you have that right. If you're single, you don't have it, you know. And the main people that have something to say are usually people who are in relationships that, you know, be doing the same thing. But at least you're single and you're having your fun.
But you know, but you know.
I know a lot of people like that, and I'm really not back out dating. But when you're dating and single, I mean, some people are just date. But you know, you say you know you get down.
But
you have that right. You're not cheating on anybody.
But the thing is, see, here's the issue I run into.
And I'm sure you're not misleading. You're not misleading.
No,
people.
See, I was getting ready to get to that point, is that the issue that I have is that there's been, if I'm honest, women that I've actually wholeheartedly really enjoyed and liked and felt something for. If I'm being honest, there's one woman that I might possibly be in love with, but I just know for a fact that's probably not going to work. So that's something I could talk about. I don't want to talk about that anyway. But
you sound like
me
this,
you know,
summer with the guy, and it didn't work. You know,
like,
number
you know,
one,
but,
I gave up the cookie. I'm sounding like Steve Harvey, but he was like, forget the whatever. But I'm like you. When you have other things going on, you can see when something's not going to work. You know.
Well, I'll put it to you like this: it wasn't so much that I just say this. If if she ever came to me and said, let's be together, and let's actually be together, I would do that in a heartbeat. But in my mind, I don't see that. I don't ever see that happen that way.
You didn't want me to cut off the single. Can you cut the single lifestyle? The bachelor lifestyle cold turkey, though, or would you have to wean yourself from it?
But see, for me, it's not even a cold turkey thing. It's like the single life that I live, I don't live it because of the fact it's something I like 100% really want to do. It's just kind of where I'm at. You know, like I have friends that always want to go out.
I know people that when they're single, they out there having fun. But when they're in an exclusive relationship, they're faithful. I'm talking about guys. Supposedly, allegedly, they're faithful as can be in what they appear to be. But when they're single, they're out there having fun. But then when they decide to get in a committed relationship, they're devoted to that too. You know
what it is?
True. He's a devoted person. He's a good guy. A very good guy. He might be out in the streets now, but if he was in a relationship, he would definitely be.
See, Jelly knows. See? That's why I love Jelly. That's my sister. That's my sister. She understands it. And, but
I was waiting for her to say something
because
I know she knows.
But the thing is, I prefer the image that certain perception that people have of me. I'm closed off to people in a personal sense. Like, people don't get it. It's like, yo, personally, you put so much of yourself out in your music and by extension, you know, to the public. It's like, but with people that you know, and I've had women tell me this before. The last girl that I was, you know, quote unquote, trying to talk to and get serious with, she was like, you know, and I said it on Rejuvenated, you know. I talked about her in the third verse. I was like, I'm trying my hardest to let my guard down.
Okay.
What she wanted me to
do. Very
interesting
song.
You know,
I really wanted to play it tonight.
But, you know, we'll get around to Rejuvenated, you know. But that's the thing, though. You know, when I met her, she was like, I can tell you're guarded because you're not giving me. She wasn't used to somebody who, the same way she would make a guy work for, you know, for her affection and for everything like that, she used to be in control. And I'm like, you're not going to be in control of this. And we had a tug of war with that because she wanted me to not be guarded. And I said, I'm going to try it. And I let certain parts down, and she showed me certain parts, but I knew for a fact that I felt like it was a lot of bullshit with her. And I was like, we're not going to work because you're still invested in somebody else. And I'm personally, I know for a fact, I have love for somebody else that I wish I could be with that I'm not able to be with. And when you have that in place, it's like why am I even wasting my time? So when it comes to relationships,
exactly.
For me, I know for a fact, you know, with a relationship, a relationship is what I would love to be in a relationship.
Especially,
but I know for a fact, like I said, I'm not husband material.
You know, people are involved with other people. How is it going to work when you're the person that was saying you want an exclusive relationship with somebody, but then you find out they're invested in other relationships? You know, at least be open.
But it's one of those, for me, it's something where, you know, I know I'm not husband material right now, but I feel like I'm not 100% where I want to be professionally. And for me, you know, but I feel like I'm getting there and I'm growing there. And the problem with that is I'd rather meet a woman now while I'm growing it. And I think this is why...
Some people might not want the husband right now, but they might want that relationship where they know someone really cares for them and they love and care for that person too. Just being solid loving relationship.
I don't do temporary, and I think that becomes the issue with me. I don't do temporary, and I meet a lot of women who like, oh, you know, I want you to be my boyfriend, I want you to date me, and these are girls that are, and like I said, I have a, it's different for me, and Jelly can attest to this. I meet women who have extremely, extremely great looks and could be seen as gorgeous to everybody else, and to me, as gorgeous as she is, her personality doesn't match up with it, then it's nothing for me.
Oh, my God.
Whereas I can meet...
You know what? Because I have lived that life right there. I mean, I've always been like a sweet person, but honestly, you see pictures of me not dolled up. But if people who have known me a long time, there was a time I stayed polished and whatever, but there were parts, there was something missing inside of me. But then when I start really like being like down to earth, and you know, now I'm talking about a makeover, but. There's something about when I went through this period of finding out and getting that peace that you talked about earlier. peace inside of me. When you, like you were saying, it's good to be polished and dressed up and dolled up, but make sure you feel that the way you look on the outside, make sure you feel that way on the inside. You know?
Well, you know, my thing is,
because I've lived that life of being just look like I come out of a magazine, but on the inside, just, oh, there was something missing. I said unhappy, but there was something that just was just missing, and maybe not being completely the person I know I'm meant to be, you know, just whatever. So, I'm sure some of the women are listening to you also say that. Because they probably say, what's wrong with me? I got all the looks. I got all this all together. But then that's men and women. That's when we have to go inside of ourselves. And
you know,
it's really hard. It's hard. When other people say things about us and criticize us, I'm talking about in a good way, constructive criticism, but when you have to dig into yourself and look at, wait a second, what's right and what needs fixing, you know?
You know, but for me, what it's come down to is where I'm at now, I try to keep my professional stuff and my personal stuff separate. You know, that's why I don't try to I talk to women on Twitter, but you know, I like the fact that, you know, that I would rather meet a woman, you know, like
you
out
know
here,
what?
You know.
I noticed that too. Even though you talk about relationships on Twitter, I noticed you don't pull your personal life into Twitter.
I don't put, like, dating wise, like, you, like, dating wise, the woman that I may talk to a data woman that's on Twitter. If we somebody who I actually enjoy talking to, I will add her more, and you'll see some of that. And that's happened like once or twice in this year. Those were short lived things, and that was kind of just me, like, I don't know, I don't know where I was at the time with stuff like that. And I was just going back and forth and you know, with her and the two females that I was. Invested in this year that I went back and forth with on Twitter. You know, they both were from California, and I think that was just me kind of – I wanted to get out of Baltimore, and I still do to a certain extent. So to me, it felt like it was just me, like, trying to find a way to get out of Baltimore. Like, I have a reason to go somewhere, and I can, you know, pack up and go here, work on getting Zori there and you know, set up somewhere in a better area. And it, like, that to me was just thinking, you know, longevity. But when I think about the women.
I'm down south, right, Jelly? Yeah.
I'm not gonna say anything about women down south, because there's a reason why. There's a personal reason why I'm not going to say it. But you know.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. You know,
we're listening, right?
Jelly knows what I'm talking about, though. Jelly knows. The thing is, for me, you know, for me, location is not really the thing for me. It's just that I need something that's gonna be fulfilling to me. Somebody who I feel comfortable with, and there's not many women that I meet that I feel comfortable with as far as dating. And even the one, even the women, like I said, from California that I met, you know, met via Twitter, I didn't feel comfortable with them. And there's women I met in person here in Baltimore that try to stick around. I don't feel comfortable with them. You know, I don't feel comfortable with stuff like that. And there's certain people that I can just be myself with, and those are the people that I think are the dopest to have around. And like I said, if circumstances were different for me,
I noticed the people that are really, like, down to earth and being themselves. Those are usually people you feel comfortable with, no matter who they are. Yeah,
but you know, as far as dating, you know, I think a relationship is probably in the cards, and maybe I will, you know, you know, run into what I'm looking for. But in the meantime, you know, we out here just doing what I'm doing.
You have any love songs in the mix?
Love songs? Actually, you know what?
In the mix for 2015, because you always tend to have a little.
Let me
type
say this.
Of
let me,
love
let me,
twist.
Let Let me say this. In my entire career, on the first album of Soul Revival 1, I was going to put out a song called Queen of Hearts, which was about the mother of my child back then. And I put Modern Day Woman out, which was about her. And, you know, I didn't have anything on Soul Revival 2 that was really positive for females.
Because
you know, what I was going through at the time, it was rough for me. And I did talk about some other stuff. And then I did 371, and I had a song called When We Find Each Other. And When We Find Each Other was basically about, you know, meeting a woman and you know, seeing in the future who it could be or just like I'm looking for the woman that I want to be with at the time. But mentally, I wasn't in a place where I wasn't mentally ready for it. But in the song, I said, when we find each other, I'll know it. And then we get to, you know, Pursuing Happiness, my new album, which is out on Bandcamp, truegodimmortal.bandcamp.com. You can go cop that real quick.
We want all the links.
When I came out with Pursuing Happiness, I put a song on there. It's called Beauty Is She, and Beauty Is She is a 2-part song, and it's about me meeting the woman. It's a preemptive song. It's like, in the future, here's what I see this woman being. Like, I can see her being, this is the woman that I want. I could have small things about her, you know, small things derived from women that I did like, pieces of them put together to make the woman that would be perfect for me. And on the end of the song, which you'll hear, is a phone conversation with a friend of mine who, she's a female wrestler. You know, she's really cool peoples, and you know, I talked to her about it, and she did the skit, and the skit is us. The skit initially was supposed to be us, you know, playing up the role of being like the cutesy couple that's talking to each other, but instead it's just our awkward conversations that we have with each other on the record. And to me, I felt like that worked better because it's just more organic instead of us doing a faux script. Or me saying, okay, let's act cutesy like we in love or we feel this way. It's like, these are the, you know, let's just have a regular conversation and talk about what, you know, talk about whatever we talk about on there. And that to me, that's a love song, and so to speak. And we had, you know, Since You Came Into My Life, which was on, you know, DAR mixtape, for Genesis, and on my sixth album, I already have a song. It's called Mistaken Love is the working title. It might change. And it's not a love song. It's about actually the woman. It's in reference to the woman that I met off of Twitter who lived in Cali. And I wrote this song about 2 months before we stopped talking to each other because I had the foresight to see that we weren't going to work out. And I wrote a song about it and everything that bothered me about her. And there's another idea I have where it might be a love song on my sixth album, but you know, I have to see how things go. I might want to use my friend, who's a female wrestler. I might want to use her voice again, you know, for something on the next album. It just really depends. You know, it really depends on where things go for me. You know, I don't know what the future holds, but something tells me that I'm inching closer to the woman that I'm supposed to be with. But if not, that's not gonna stop me from doing what I do. You know, at the end of the day, we're here to make history. It's DAR. And that's what we're doing. I've been making history. Like people don't understand. Like in between my fourth to fifth album, I started up my own wrestling brand, Eyes on the Ring, and put out a wrestling album, which is the soundtrack to that. And there's no rapper, there's no artist in the history that started their own wrestling brand and had an album to boot that went with it. That was a soundtrack to that. And so to me, you know, there were not many artists doing 3-part documentaries with a album release as an indie artist when I first came out. There was nobody doing this stuff. So when I set the trends that I've been setting and just doing things different out the box, I feel like I'm making history. And it'd just be nice to have, nice to have a queen next to me while I make this history and grow. Because I don't want to get to the point where we're sitting on millions or we're sitting on 6-7 figures. And I'm meeting women now who just want a piece of the pie, you know, that's a fear. I don't fear very much, but it is a big fear that I'm just be out here running wild, running through all these chicks, and I'm going to wind up, you know, just a very wealthy, successful dude, and women just throwing themselves at me because I got success and money. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm being honest, I don't, you know, so.
Yeah.
I do worry about that, you know, it does bother me, you know what I'm saying, so. You know, it is what it is. You know,
because you want people to want you for you. you know, but at the same time, I know you like to, you know. I mean, it also, I guess a good person should want you to want them for them also and not think that they want you because of, you know, material things, you know.
Yeah.
They get, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, it's how can I word this? I want to word this right. For me, knowing
you know what? You know how I know if I like a guy, too, sometimes? Especially if the guy is a guy that, you know, have some bank or successful. Might not have bank, just be successful. You know, so sometimes, I mean, I know some people probably say, well, how do you say that? You know, some people are, it can appear and be successful, but not really, not have any money. You know, but if I like a guy, I would think, would I like this guy if he didn't have anything? You know, and
well,
that's how you know, like, would I, especially somebody, like, would I like him if it wasn't for all of this, all of that? You know, that's how. And that's how I like people to look at me. Would I like her if she's like? If some people run away from money. Like some women might be scared of you because you have you're successful and have some bank. So sometimes that scare people.
If I could be honest,
oh my God! Or you know, the artist, he might prefer the next woman. You know, everybody's not a gold digger.
You know, what
some people just
want,
want a good. Like, well, some people want a good life, and there's anything wrong with
right.
that? You know.
What I'll say is I've officially noticed, you know, in for me that women who are extremely successful, you know, like
yeah.
I'm doing okay, you know, I'm doing